I thank you all once again for respecting the bell, because I just assumed that all of you did.
Proper
homage. By not talking, I mean standing at attention, saluting the bell even. I mean, come on, guys. Welcome back, final segment on a Wednesday of Crunch Time. That means the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, ask him a prospectus from the stories, and he is going to tell us if he is buying, selling, or pending on that prospectus. Sometimes he uses pending. It's been a while, but you know. Anyway, a baseball one to start today because it's my segment and I said so. Shut up about it. So the Red Sox have parted ways with their manager, John Farrell, after their second ALDS loss in a row. The Sox won back-to-back AL East titles for the first time in their history of the last two seasons, but it's all about rings in Boston, and Farrell couldn't get it done recently. But despite the last 2 years, he did win it all in 2013, had to win this season without David Ortiz, with Dustin Pedroia, David Price injured for a good portion of the season, and Cy Young winner Rick Porcello pitching like garbage all season. And he's the only Sox manager to ever win three division titles. So their prospectus, firing Farrell was a good move for Dave Dombrowski and the Red Sox.
It's really strange how in 12 years they've gone from nothing can go right, it's going to end with an error by Buckner,
yep,
to we demand World Series championships. He made some mistakes down the stretch and during the season, and the Yankees should not have been that close to them. So if they felt, even despite back-to-back division titles, that he had peaked with them. Although Dombrowski's another guy, you can't say that Farrell hasn't had equal success as a manager that Dombrowski has had as a GM, but if ownership trusts Dombrowski, I felt like something had to give there. So I'm actually going to buy that.
Let's all get to the Ducks now, who travel to play the Trees on Saturday night, Pac-12 after dark in Palo Alto. Keller Christ will start at quarterback for Stanford, but the big obstacle for an Oregon win is Cardinal running back Bryce Love. If you don't know, Love leads the nation in rushing with 1,240 yards, which is 247 more than the guy in second place, Rashad Penny of San Diego State. Wow. But Oregon's run D has been great this year. 10th in the nation, averaging just giving up 93.7 yards per game, just 2.73 yards per carry against them. Love averages, by the way, this is also nuts, 10.5 yards per carry this year. Per carry. Something has to give. Love's lowest yards total was last week against Utah when he only had 152. So the prospectus, Oregon holds Love under 152.
By the way, I just have to share this text because we talked about paying homage to the bell.
Homage.
Somebody texted us and said they took a knee during the bell.
Protesting the bell.
That's awesome.
I don't like what it stands for either, you guys.
150 yards against this defense. Man, there's such a direct connection to what I think is going to happen with the Oregon offense. If I knew for sure that they would have Mitchell and Nelson, I would believe in them more to move the ball and give less opportunity. I think Oregon's more vulnerable through the air. I'm actually going to give the defense credit. It is 150. It's not like if he gains 142 with three touchdowns, they shut him down.
Yeah.
So I'm going to very delicately sell that.
Oh, that's the wrong one. There we go. Oregon State in the national news this week for football, which either means they beat USC or they had a scandal of some kind. Well, it's neither. Gary Anderson steps away as head coach midseason, which means the Beavs are again in need of a coach. Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports wrote today that it is time for the Beavs to embrace their past and go back to the option game they ran with Jerry Pettibone in the 80s. He did not name Pettibone, but everybody around here knows Pettibone ran that with the Beavers. He compiled a record of 13-52-1 running the option at Oregon State. But Fornelli's point is that the Beavs need to be realistic that it will never consistently compete with the Pac-12's powers if it tries to play the same game they do, and gives the examples of Georgia Tech and Navy as teams that realize that and have been moderately successful, which OSU hasn't been the last half decade. So the prospectus, OSU should go back to the option.
No, that's a sell. Well, talk about getting back to your roots. Your roots sucked. You're terrible as an option team. Jerry Pettibone and those guys, they barely moved forward.
Jerry Jones said this week, let's get to that topic,
all right,
that if any Cowboys player takes a knee during the national anthem, he will not play them for his team. Now, by the way, he's not the coach, so does he really have the final say?
I guess he's the GM.
Okay. Now, opinions about the sanity of his comment aside, it is reportedly causing issues with his team. A player told ESPN's Josina Anderson under anonymity that he thought the kneeling before the anthem thing Jones did was trash, and that his sudden threat goes against everything he told them before regarding protests. The players' union released a statement saying Jones's attempts to stifle the conversation goes against what America stands for, and a local labor union filed a complaint against Jones because his threat to fire players for not standing for the anthem actually violates local labor laws as well. So the prospectus, you buy or sell, Jerry Jones would actually fire a player for protesting during the anthem.
Laws?
It is Jerry Jones.
Constitution? Billionaires? This is America now. It doesn't apply to them. They operate by a whole set of rules. To these guys, the Constitution is there in case they run out of toilet paper. The prospectus again?
Do you buy or sell Jerry Jones would actually fire a player for protesting during the anthem?
The 53rd player. So, like I said, it ain't happening to Dak, Zeke, Lee, any of the Tyron Smith, or any of the studs that have this team in contention. So if I think he'll fire the 53rd guy to make an example, absolutely.
That's a buy. Cash money. All right. We get to talk about Lonzo Ball again, Steve.
Oy,
yeah! Happy day. Well, we're talking about him today because Bovada released their updated prediction for who will win Rookie of the Year in the NBA. Ball dropped to second place with 7-2 odds, while Ben Simmons is now ahead of him at 3-2. Logically, it makes a ton of sense. Simmons has actually been in the league for a year, despite not playing a game yet, and he is more of a scorer than Ball, and he plays on an up-and-coming, exciting team in Philly that has a lot of eyes on it this season. But he ain't Lonzo, and he doesn't play for the Lakers. So I know it's foolish to argue with Vegas, although they really did butcher the Oregon Wazoo line last week. The prospectus. You buy or sell Simmons the favorite for Rookie of the Year over Lonzo Ball?
I think he is in a better situation. And it's not asking me who's going to win Rookie of the Year. And I do like Lonzo's game. It's just, you know, that apple and the tree thing I hope doesn't come into be fruition. So, yeah, I think that's pretty legit. I'll buy that one.
By the way, Dennis Smith Jr. of the Mavericks, who I believe went 9th in the draft, he is 3rd now behind both of them. A lot of GMs, a lot of people raving about that dude after the preseason.
Well, now it makes sense. When they have the draft and then 2 days later they're having that debate on NBA TV who's going to be Rookie of the Year, it's like, can we see them in the uniform first? Take a foul shot. Shake a hand with a hat on. Something.